You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
The following is an exclusive presentation of News Radio KMAN. Your home for K-State Athletics. It's game time. This is The Game on News Radio KMAN.
Boy, I'll tell you what, this weekend is just going to be full of final bosses. A final boss is reference to video games and like that final big battle you have at the end of your video game before you beat it. WrestleMania has a final boss in The Rock. Women's college basketball has a final boss for Caitlin Clark, and that is South Carolina. Although they're not there yet, I think that's what we're building up to, is a Caitlin Clark versus South Carolina national championship.
Man, did she make Haley Van Lith look bad last night.
Well, it's a tough assignment. She is a Haley Van Lith is a great defender. You know, we've seen this in college basketball the last 2 years against Caitlin Clark. Teams will put their best defenders on them. And you know what? I still have to stand by a previous thought. Because this goes back to the Taylor Robertson days of Oklahoma. And when you're facing an elite shooter like those two, and Caitlin Clark is a 46% three-point shooter, the highest scoring college player ever, Jeff Mitty has dialed up maybe the best strategy against Caitlin Clark than anybody else.
The step back that she made from the free throw line back two steps was unreal.
She knows how to make a team pay.
Oh,
off the ball screens and when the defender goes underneath.
Mm-hmm.
Caitlin Clark is the definition of a player that you're guarding and you can absolutely not go underneath the ball screen. Welcome to The Game. Mitch Fortner, Troy Coverdale, and AJ Shaw with us today. The phone number is 75-537-1350 if you want to call in. We're only with you for an hour today. Now, the Royals pregame starting at 5 o'clock. Game 2 at Camden Yards against the Baltimore Orioles.
Hi, AJ. Good to see you. Glad Owen's not in that chair today. We don't have to hear Orioles talk this way.
Well, we don't have a show tomorrow, so maybe Thursday. Well, it might be perfect timing because are we going to be talking... How many games is this series?
Three.
So are we going to be talking, by the end of the week, a Orioles sweep of the Royals? What happened last night?
Nick Anderson. That's what happened last night. Grooved an 0-2.
Okay.
They walked it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. After the Royals had gotten it even in the top of the ninth.
Been a little bit of heartbreak here early, hasn't it?
Yeah, the bullpen's been a little...
Well, yeah, the bullpen...
My number two item has become number one right at the front here, yes.
It may look different. There may be some new names, but you're potentially getting some of the same results.
Mainly from the veterans.
Meanwhile, on Sunday, because we got AJ in here, he's a big Chicago Cubs fan. On Sunday, Jordan Wicks, former K-State Wildcat pitcher, first-round draft pick Jordan Wicks, pitching on Sunday against the Rangers. Did you get to watch any of that? You got a report on that?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of the game. He didn't play great. I shouldn't say play. He didn't pitch great. Gave up some runs here and there.
He started out pretty well.
He had a good run last year when he got called up, minus his final start.
All right. AJ Shaw, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, they were helped out by the fact that the Rockies all but handed them three runs yesterday afternoon.
Well, I looked at his stat line. I thought there were some unearned runs in there, so yeah. Maybe the Cubs were kicking it around in the infield a little bit.
Well, yesterday the Rockies kicked it around in the outfield and gave up three right there.
So again, we're only with you.
League home run.
We're only with you until 5 o'clock. We'll have Jabroni of the Week and Ask Us Anything to wrap it all up. Let's lead off with actually the Kansas City Chiefs. Because actually there's been a couple of signings today. One re-signing, that's Clyde Edwards-Helaire. When I saw the headline, I don't know the details on that signing yet. But I know J.K. Dobbins was on, he was on Kansas City's like short list for another running back. He was in Kansas City. He still remains a free agent. And it looks like Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be continuing to be the backup to Isaiah Pacheco. Here's a question for you, Troy.
Okay.
If you're Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you're drafted in the first round, and now you're backing up a guy that was picked in the next draft, or was it two drafts later, and he was a seventh rounder, and a seventh rounder beat you out for the starting job, basically. Do you feel kind of like a loser?
No, because
I mean, you're still in the
crapshoot. Yeah, it's still such a crapshoot. You're still playing with the Super Bowl champions. You've still gotten two rings.
But is there has to be a shot to your ego.
Oh, I'm sure. That's why it's on you to perform better and set yourself up better in the offseason.
Well, and I know he's not everything has played out his way. Isn't, you know, there's been an injury or two, but also hasn't been, you know, the starting running back that was he was projected to be coming out of LSU. He was a national championship winner, but he's going to be sticking around. I'm honestly not a big Clyde Edwards-Helaire fan. I much more prefer Isaiah Pacheco. I just love Pacheco's style and the way he just runs the football. Seems more like a natural. I don't know. I don't know what they would have had to pay J.K. Dobbins though. Right. I don't know what kind of how much that impacts the decision. The other signing is for 1 year, and Patrick Mahomes is going to have a new backup quarterback. Let's introduce this backup quarterback for Kansas City with an old piece of imaging we used to play back in the day when Chris Klieman was hired at K-State and we get a victory in that first year.
Get me on the court and I'm troubled. Last week messed around and
coached one of the best kids I've ever coached in my life, and a kid named Carson Wentz.
Freaking brothers every way like
Carson Wentz.
I can't believe today was a
dang day.
That's the first time you've heard that?
That is the first time that I had heard that.
In that
yes.
Dang day.
I found it. It had been long lost for 3 years. Or 2.5. Ever since I took over. Couldn't find it anywhere. I thought it left with the author of the work. Shout out to John Kurtz, former host of this show. He actually made that, and it was all from when Chris Klieman had his first full team discussion when he was hired and started in that 2019 season. So that would have been December of 18 when that speech took place. That's where When the Dang Day was born.
Right.
And there were he mentioned Carson Wentz a lot. Now, if you remember, Carson Wentz is a former number two overall pick in the NFL draft. He spent 5 seasons at North Dakota State with Chris Klieman. Mm-hmm. In all 5 years, they won national championships.
I don't have to be reminded. Thank you.
And play it again, AJ, because there's something important I want to bring up. So play it one more time.
Get me on the court and I'm troubled. Last week, messed around and
coached one of the best kids I've ever coached in my life, and a kid named Carson Wentz.
Freaking brothers every way like
Carson Wentz.
I can't believe today was a
dang day.
So Carson Wentz is the new backup quarterback to Patrick Mahomes. And the absolute first thing I thought of was, oh my God, Chris Klieman's boy is going to be just 2 hours down the road. We're going to probably get him in the bill once, at least once this upcoming season, boy, it's going to be a reunion unlike any other.
Are we going to play that more throughout next year? Because I kind of like that.
Well, again, I couldn't find those for over 2 years. There's other ones. I think there's like two other ones. But that's the one that really goes into Carson Wentz. And I was like, this is perfect. I'm so glad I found this because that is a flashback. That's a throwback. That's a TBT, Throwback Tuesday.
Yep.
And, well, let me give you the list, actually. If Deej was here, we could maybe do a impromptu blindly rank four. But so these are the backup quarterbacks that Patrick Mahomes had during his time in Kansas City. Chad Henne, and Chad Henne was around for like 15 years. He was a backup for a while for Patrick Mahomes up until what, 2 years ago. Matt Moore. Now, that's an easily forgettable one.
Right.
I don't really think he played. Last year was Blaine Gabbert, who started the last game of the regular season. And now it's going to be Carson Wentz. Can we agree that Carson Wentz is going to be the more talented of the four that's going to be backing up Patrick Mahomes?
I would say so, but...
Well, but his career has been...
Spotty.
It's spotty after the first couple of years in Philadelphia.
He did win his last game that he played for the Rams. Final game of the regular season.
Okay, I was going to say, I didn't think he was in the... He didn't play in the postseason because they rested Matthew Stafford.
Right. Yes, and they won that game.
But, I mean, that 2017 season, Carson Wentz was really good.
Yes.
That's the year the Eagles won the Super Bowl. But he didn't finish the year. He got hurt after 13 games, and then Nick Foles becomes the guy.
Yep, that's correct. He was going to win MVP.
How about that storyline of the 2017 Eagles? Make the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl, and the three most visible aspects of that franchise have not done anything since. Head coach fired. Frank Reich leaves, was a disaster as a head coach. And Carson Wentz has never reached that level again.
Something that was very interesting about that 2017 season, Carson Wentz, I was just digging around at some numbers earlier, and I just happened to come across this. I found it to be very interesting. Stumbled across it accidentally. Carson Wentz became the first quarterback in NFL history to throw for over 4,000 yards, and he didn't have a receiver that reached 500 yards. That had never happened before. And it doesn't even, yeah. I mean, if you think about it, well, no, duh, it hasn't happened before. It doesn't typically work that way.
Right.
You're not going to be spreading it around that much in the NFL.
Right. I mean, can you imagine what Patrick Mahomes would be like if he had a receiver core that he could spread it around like that too?
That Dawkins song, In My Dreams, just popped in my head. I'm not even a Chiefs fan, you know. It's love this, though. Here's my other thought I had about this whole story. Again, Carson Wentz going to be a Chief for at least a year. So let's pretend we're 5 years down the road. I'm not making this a hypothetical like Kleiman's going to leave and he's going to give the same speech to another team as he goes somewhere else. Mm. Not like that, but it's just a speech to like a coach's clinic or something like that. And again, that line of coach one of the best kids I've ever coached in a kid named Carson Wentz. I know I just butchered it, but it's something like that. In 5 years, does that name change to Avery Johnson?
Ooh.
Does Avery Johnson outplay Carson Wentz to become one of the best kids Chris Kleiman ever coached in a kid named Avery Johnson? And then we're changing all the imaging you just heard.
That is a tremendous question.
The thing is, like I said, Carson Wentz won 5 national championships. Now, one of them was a red shirt. Another year was just basically riding the bench. And if I remember correctly, he contributed to really 3 seasons. He was a starter for 2.
Correct.
I'm not, you know, Avery Johnson, I know he's a Heisman Trophy candidate. He along with Will Howard.
Mm-hmm.
But can Avery Johnson surpass Carson Wentz? Because we're not talking about, to me, it's more than just winning games, stats. Like, the way Chris Klieman used to talk about Carson Wentz, it's like they served in a war together.
Right. Hey, come on. I mean, the FCS schedule. Oh, anyway. I mean, in the, have to say this. In the Missouri Valley Conference, it may feel like that.
It's like you're more than just talking, like with Chris Klieman and Carson Wentz, it's more than just talking about a football player. It's like it's its own son.
Yeah.
It's like its own kid.
Yeah. Not all that surprising to me.
Trey Lance can also thank Carson Wentz for getting him drafted third overall.
Good point. Yeah.
God, Trey Lance was third overall?
Third overall, because he had 1 year, essentially, at North Dakota State, but Wentz's success had the 49ers drooling.
Trey Lance didn't play enough in North Dakota State with Klieman there to earn any of Chris Kleiman's heartstrings. The thing is, Carson Wentz was much earlier in the Chris Klieman career as a head coach. It's hard to replace that, like, one first true starting quarterback.
Sure, it's just, yeah, what Trey Lance did that season caught the 49ers' attention enough, and Carson Wentz's play in the NFL that year sparked the reason why Trey Lance went third.
We still have Jabroni of the Week coming up. Ask Us Anything. We're on until 5 o'clock. That's when we will wrap it up and get you to Royals pregame against the Baltimore Orioles. We continue on with the game after these words.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Anybody, can you name the movie? This song?
To me, when I played it one time a while back, and I completely forgot.
Oh, I probably did the same thing. It's my bit.
Not me.
Think of Philip Seymour Hoffman wearing an OU hat. Twister.
Oh, geez.
Oh, my goodness.
He starts just, the song is screaming out of the speakers that are outside of his truck. This is a Deep Purple song, by the way.
Yeah.
It's the wonders of nature, baby. All right, we're back on the game. Mitch Fortner, Troy Coverdale, and AJ Shaw. Of course, AJ with no Deej here will lead us through Ask Us Anything. So I'm sure he's working hard right now to figure out some very creative and thoughtful questions.
Let me just say this. Nobody asks questions better in this segment than Deej does. So I have kind of a tall order to fill up to today.
Well, and here's a little bit of advice. Make them interesting, but don't make them too hard. Because we're thinking on the spot here. We want good answers, but we don't want to be thinking for 2 minutes trying to think of a good answer. Want to shout out Tyler Perry, former K-State guard, playing in his 1 year at K-State, who's now out of eligibility. But his college career technically is not done. He has been one of 21 players selected to play in the Reese's Division I College All-Star Game. That'll be taking place this Friday. Tip it off at 5:30 on CBS Sports Network. He'll play on the West team. It was just actually a couple of years ago. Totally forgot about this. Mark Smith, who was a leader in rebounds a couple of years ago for the Cats. He was the shortest leader in rebounds in Big 12 history. He will be on the West team. And a couple of names on that West team. West Virginia's Jesse Edwards. Nebraska's Keisei Tominaga.
Jesse on a West team, when he, I guess it's strictly just because he played for West Virginia.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't know where the divide. Well, it doesn't make sense because on the East team, that Oakland kid, that was just, he hit 10 threes in a game or something like that.
Yeah.
He's on the East team.
Yes.
Oakland is in Michigan.
And he's being coached by his coach in the game. Greg Campy is coaching that team.
Isn't Greg Campy, isn't he the longest tenured college basketball coach right now?
He might be.
Because he's been at Oakland since the 80s.
Yeah.
And he had not won an NCAA tournament game until this year.
Yeah.
Oakland beating Kentucky. Which is a great draw if you're anybody in that first round, because Kentucky has stunk in the NCAA tournament over the last 3 years. A couple of first round exits, what was it, 3 years ago against St. Peter's?
Yeah.
As a two seed?
Yeah.
They lose in the second round. Of course, that was a very, very good Kentucky team last year. K-State beat them in the second round in the Greensboro Coliseum. Let's see, is it says anybody else that we may recognize? Okay, so how about this? Sean East is playing for the West team. He played at Missouri. I don't feel like Missouri should have any All-Stars.
You don't win a league game, yeah.
Yeah, Missouri should not have an All-Star player, if you ask me. I don't know anything about their numbers. But anyway, very happy Tyler Perry gets one more opportunity to show off his skills collegiately. And that will be a part of the whole Final Four festivities in Phoenix. That game will be played in Phoenix at State Farm Stadium, the home of the Arizona Cardinals, on Friday, April 5th. And again, tip-off is at 4:30. We're out of here until 5 o'clock. Want to hit a couple more headlines. Rest in peace, Joe Flaherty. Anybody know who that guy is? Passed away at 82 today.
Wrestler, I'm guessing.
No. Not a wrestler, actor.
Oh, okay.
From a sports movie.
Not off the top of my head.
Adam Sandler. He's the one in Happy Gilmore goes, "You suck, you jackass."
Yep, I know who you're talking about now when I looked it up.
He was also in Freaks and Geeks. You remember that show? It was only on for a season.
Yeah, I never did watch it.
It was really good.
I know.
Really good. Only on for 1 year. Hell of a cast.
James Franco was in it.
Oh, James Franco, Seth Rogen, Jason Segel. Yeah,
the cast is legendary.
Oh, God. Who is the guy? Judd Apatow is the one that made that show.
Yes.
And Judd Apatow is now a big-time director, movie director. Another headline I wanted to get to here. Big 12 Mexico has been put on pause. I thought at first this was a joke for April Fool's Day. And then I looked at the date of the tweet, and it was like, it came out this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I must be missing something. To me, I was never really too interested or too pumped up. Really wasn't pumped up at all with this whole Big 12 Mexico thing. I know it's an opportunity for to play a few games over in Mexico. It's a great marketing opportunity, but just as a fan, there might be a bowl game
right.
in Mexico. But if it's just a regular season Big 12 basketball game, it doesn't excite me. It's just something that I'm just not too interested in.
It's something that there's better luck going if it's the NBA. The Pac-12 tried this with China. And we see how the Pac-12 ended up.
Well, I'd imagine this is an opportunity for the Big 12, you know.
Oh yeah, you're trying to spread knowledge of who you are. But putting on something like that's a challenge to begin with.
So it's going
to
be pushed back a year. I know they had talked about. I did think it was cool that soccer teams could go to Mexico and play an exhibition. Or so I think that's a pretty neat opportunity to do that.
Right.
But actual games that count, I mean, because you're going to talk about like taking, what were they talking about, KU in Houston or something like that? Yeah,
that's exactly who they were looking at.
I hate that game would not be played in one of their gyms.
Sure. After what we're talking played out about this year. Yeah.
The best conference outside of the NCAA tournament in men's college basketball, because the Big 12 has stunk in the tournament the last 2 years. And you're taking one of your marquee games and moving it out of the United States. I don't know. And I understand the possibilities and the opportunities for the Big 12, but just as a fan, it makes it less attractive when you take out the environment.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not as fun.
And that, I think, is also part of the problem in terms of playing one of these games in Mexico. You may be better off coming up with a non-conference game or a challenge series type situation where you put two games down there against other conferences.
All right, the last thing I wanted to touch on real quick before we get to Jabroni of the Week. I may be the only one on the show that is really interested in this. So WrestleMania is this weekend. It's Saturday and Sunday now. It's been a two-day event now for a few years.
We mentioned that WrestleMania 5 ended today.
35 years ago today. Yeah, that was the Mega Powers Explode, Macho Man Randy Savage versus Hulk Hogan, the fight over Miss Elizabeth, the fight over the World Championship.
I'd like to say he heard that from listening to me this morning, but I know better.
Well, I remember also WrestleMania 5 had one of the... So WrestleMania, this was established since WrestleMania 1. This was Vince McMahon's dream of bringing professional wrestling and pop culture together.
Right.
And it started with WrestleMania 1, Muhammad Ali, The Rockettes, Mr. T, Liberace in Madison Square Garden. It was a huge success, although if you watch it back, it was an extremely boring WrestleMania. I think it's the worst WrestleMania of all time. So this year, it's like, well, who do you bring in as the celebrities? This one our audience might be interested in. Where is WrestleMania at this year, AJ?
Where is it at?
Pop quiz.
Philadelphia.
That's correct.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know where I'm going with this?
I got you.
WWE wants Jason Kelce involved at WrestleMania. And if I'm booking, and what that means is I'm making the decisions, making the matches, making the results. The WWE started 10 years ago the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal to pay tribute to Andre the Giant, obviously. God, it's been 10 years. Jesus. And I remember when I went to WrestleMania at Jerry's World, and all of a sudden, the very last person to enter the Battle Royal was Shaquille O'Neal. I was Well, this is an interesting twist.
All right.
And Rob Gronkowski got involved one time.
Of course.
And that was in Tampa. That was in Orlando a handful of years ago. Let's get Jason Kelce in a Battle Royal. But they're not doing it during WrestleMania anymore. They do it the night on Fridays for SmackDown or whatever before the Hall of Fame ceremony. If you're going to have Jason Kelce, who's going to be a Pro Football Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champion, and by the way, now is like a pop culture star, now with the New Heights podcast, his brother is dating Taylor Swift, you don't just have him backstage, or you don't have him just show up on stage and get a cheer from the crowd and wave your hand.
Right.
You get him in the squared circle. Teach him a few quick things, give him something to do, and have him go and do something that starts after the bell.
It's, do you go with the celebrity referee aspect? It's been a while, has it not?
I thought that might happen this year with either Stone Cold or John Cena.
Okay.
But I'm not sure. It could happen. It's because they've been teasing that. John Cena and Austin coming back. Because when I went to WrestleMania 30 10 years ago, the show started with a big bang because they brought Hulk Hogan out. That was expected.
Mm-hmm.
He was hosting. This was before the whole scandal thing with his sex tape and what he said. So he was still very over. But then it was surprise appearances by Stone Cold and The Rock back to back. To huge thunderous ovations, pops. And I'll never forget it. Deafening for Stone Cold. Never heard anything louder. Bramlage Coliseum, Bill Snyder Family Stadium, I'm sorry, but there hasn't been a single roar bigger than that Stone Cold pop. And that was in the Superdome. The referee thing is a good idea.
It's been a while.
The thing is, though, when they bring the celebrities, I remember they did this with Mike Tyson for WrestleMania 14, Austin Shawn Michaels. He's not trained to do anything. He's just there to be a celebrity, but he was like an outside referee. And he ended up counting the three, and he fast counted. And I was like, so you got to be really careful with that kind of stuff. He fast counted Austin's first title win. But I love the idea of Jason Kelce being involved because it's in Philadelphia. He was a Philadelphia Eagle for a long time. It makes perfect sense, even though a WrestleMania crowd is going to be a melting pot. People from all over the world, people have never heard of Jason Kelce. But if you have Jason, do you also work in Travis?
I don't know.
Tag team match?
Travis doesn't seem like a wrestling type of guy for me.
They are definitely fans that they were fans as kids.
Yeah.
Maybe young adults. I don't know where that's at now. Well, actually, I take that back. The last time I went to a Monday Night Raw, Travis Kelce was sitting front row.
Well...
Shot that one down.
I've never felt Travis was a wrestling guy. I mean, Jason, totally, but Travis, interesting.
Something about when they're in NFL towns, the NFL team is always there representing front row.
Sure.
To check out the action. It's actually a pretty, I mean, WrestleMania, boy, really digging into the history here. I mean, WrestleMania 2 featured a battle royal, and it was a lot of NFL players from different teams that mingled into the match. And it was basically, it wasn't like NFL against WWF at the time, but they were just mingled into it. And I have to pull up the roster here in a second because I don't remember everybody who was in the match. Let's see if I can find this real quick. So you had Jimbo Covert.
He was a Bear.
Right? Wow, he was a Chicago Bear. He was in that match. Ernie Holmes.
Steeler.
You're right. He was also in that match. Harvey Martin, who was a Dallas Cowboy, was in that match. Bill Frelick. Am I saying that right?
Yes.
Yeah, Atlanta Houston Oilers, right?
No, he's Atlanta Falcon.
Oh, Falcons, yeah.
Everybody will know this name. William the Refrigerator Perry.
Oh, yes.
Was in that match. Russ Francis, who was a 49er, was also in that match. That'd be cool if they did something like that again. All right, we got to take a break. We're going way too long here. We have Jabroni of the Week coming up next on The Game.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni!
You jabronis hit the jackpot!
That Hollywood blonde jabroni, Hulk Hogan!
Ow!
Is this Jabroni's name?
Jabroni of the Week.
See, there you go. Yeah, right there in the intro of Jabroni of the Week, you have Travis Kelce quoting The Rock.
Right.
The Rock is in the main event of night one of WrestleMania 40.
I'm an idiot.
I even completely forgot about that part of it until I heard it back. Welcome to Jabroni of the Week, another crowning of a jabroni coming up here in just a few moments. But of course, I will start with my three dishonorable mentions and then culminate with the official Jabroni of the Week. First dishonorable mention, I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Rays because they did something I'm just really not a fan of. So they started their 2024 MLB season. That was back on Thursday. They lost to the Blue Jays 8-2. It was sold out crowd, believe it or not. They're Tropicana. Now, prior to the game, the team hung a banner. And if you remember anything about the Rays season last year, they made it to the wild card and was demolished by the Rangers in two games. And they still hung a wild card banner for that year, and Rays fans hated it. Major League Baseball fans hated it, and I hated it too.
Of course.
Why would you want to honor that? I understand winning a pennant. You know, of course, winning a World Series, but also winning a pennant, winning your division. I think those are appropriate banners.
Especially a team like the Rays who have had success.
Yeah, I mean, they've won 4 or 5 league titles, right?
Yeah, you'd expect this act from someone like the White Sox.
Right, right, AJ? The White Sox, right, who won a World Series like once 15, 20 years ago?
19 years ago, but yeah, you're right about then. And the Phillies did it too, didn't they?
Now, the Phillies won a title 2 years ago.
They won the. I'm talking about this.
I think it was
this past year. They for this season, start of the year, they hung a wild card banner for last year at the start of this season. I thought I heard somewhere they did that as well. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think it's just kind of a trashy look
in
a trashy stadium.
That is accurate.
Yeah.
My next dishonorable mention is going to go to Chase and Bradford. You guys remember that guy? Former Major League Baseball pitcher.
He was a Met, right?
He was a Met. Well, he was drafted by the Mets. I don't know if he was a career-long Met. I don't know how long his career was, really. But anyway, he's now in his mid-30s. He got out of baseball, and he decided, I'm going to become a cop. So he graduated from the Henderson Police Department, along with 13 other graduates. And that happened back on the 21st of March. So he decided, I'm going to go out and celebrate. Having a good time with his buddy, celebrating getting a new job. He ends up getting a DUI from an officer that would have been his coworker the day after passing the academy. And he was then fired from his job.
What?
He never even put on the badge.
What?
Dun, dun, dun.
He never even got to suit up.
Oh, man.
He wasn't too far over, but he was over. You would think a cop would know better.
Right.
Maybe needed more of that on-job training.
Unreal.
Okay. Our last dishonorable mention is going to go to Connor Sports. Do you know what Connor Sports is?
I know exactly what Connor Sports is.
So,
after this weekend especially.
Yeah. So this was... Portland, right?
Yes, it was. Moda Center.
Sweet 16 Elite 8.
Beautiful facility.
Women's NCAA tournament. So they had played, 3 games and didn't realize that the 3-point lines were not even. So where the issue was is that one of the baskets, the 3-point line at the apex, was 9 inches closer to the rim than the opposite 3-point line, and they played 3 games without noticing it. And it was Connor Sports that was contracted to come in and make sure that was all good to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically, I don't know too much about this field, but basically they contract an individual to come out and oversee and make sure everything was by the book.
Connor Sports constructed the floors for them.
Oh, so they made the floors. Okay.
They made the floors, and as part of how they made the floors, they have a hole specifically where the basket is to be anchored. And they take a measurement from that spot as to where the 3-point lines should be. The hole at one end of the floor was 9 inches off.
So I don't know if that person that they have to sell the job or not, but it did make a difference, it turns out. We don't know if it's seriously the difference, if it was just that. Because, I mean, a lot of that type of stuff, like shooting the basketball, especially from distance, a lot of muscle memory is involved with that. Mm-hmm. That's how you see these people just swish it all the time. There's muscle memory involved with that.
Yes.
So with the incorrect three-point line, teams shot 25.8%, and then those from the correct three-point line shot 33.5%.
And that sounds about right. And it was fine on the sides. That's the part of this that is humorous because of how you construct that circle, the half moon. You know, sides were fine. It was from about the wings to the top of the key that the distance was screwed up.
All right, so quickly, my Jabroni of the Week is going to go to former ESPN anchor Sage Steele.
Oh, boy.
So she started a new podcast called The Sage Steele Show that's working under Bill Maher, who has his own podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just kind of a sister podcast or something like that, whatever you want to call it. First guest was
Dana White.
Dana White from the UFC. And they did a podcast for like 90 minutes. And she didn't realize to the very end that she was talking to Dana White. She thought she was talking to Joe Rogan the whole time. And she brought up the question, what's Joe Rogan's dream? And Dana White was like, Joe Rogan's dream? And she quickly tried to correct herself, like somebody was in her ear and said, no, it's Dana White. And she tried to correct herself. And he's like, did you think I was Joe Rogan the whole time? And she said, yes, I did. Her first podcast.
Yeah. I've seen some speculate that this was an intended attention grab.
That is a stupid attempt at an attention grab. I don't even know how that would even make sense. You look like an idiot.
Well, that's kind of, yeah.
I mean, it's a major blunder. If that was intentional, stupid. The best route to go is to say you messed up.
It's the Ron Burgundy-esque way of looking at things. You know, she needs the teleprompter.
All right, AJ, what do you think? Do we just keep going and do a little Ask Us Anything? Do we take a quick break? What do you want to do?
Let's do Ask Us Anything.
All right, let's get right into it. Ask Us Anything, hosted by AJ Shaw. Here we go in 2 seconds.
All right, I'm going to go off K-Rock today.
This is a very David G move.
Yes. Your non-dominant hand is replaced by a robotic hand. What gadget do you include?
See, this is just one of those thinkers that I don't have a good answer for. I wasn't a fan of the question.
I saw this earlier today, and I didn't take the look at seeing what some of the answers were. I know someone did mention flashlight in your palm.
That's the thing, though. I don't want my hand to be a Swiss Army knife.
True.
You know, you just like your Edward Scissorhands of gadgets.
I mean, the bottle opener would be handy.
Here's what I would do. I would get rid of whatever mechanism is on my hand and get a prosthetic hand. That's what I would do. My gadget would be a fake hand.
With the Infinity Stones or without?
Let's go with. Let's try it out.
Okay. All right.
Let's see how it looks. Maybe it's for me. I don't know. Maybe I can rock it. AJ,
I
got to
ask another one?
Well, first you can answer if you want to.
I don't have an answer to the question. I just kind of came up with a question.
If you're going
to
ask a question, you got to have an answer for it yourself. Go ahead. What's your
if
other
Deej
one?
If Deej out there, he needs to come back next time, so I don't have to do this again. I don't have another question. How about you go with one? I just put Mitch on the spot. It's a disaster.
This is your job. This is what you're supposed to do.
Man.
Would you rather DG be asking? No, anyway.
Who is your favorite bad guy in a sports movie? I know mine. It's pretty easy.
I like the Monstars, but that's kind of lame for me to come up with that.
It's like a whole team. Yeah. Yeah. That manager was a real jerk.
One of the things about Major League that stands out is there were some people that you could label as bad guys that more anti-hero, I guess you would. You know, Roger Dorn comes to mind.
Roger Dorn, you take him as a bad guy?
At least at the start of it.
He had a major ego and couldn't get over it and wouldn't do the right thing for the team. I like the question because Joe Flaherty passed away. He was the you suck, you jackass, but Shooter McGavin.
Oh.
Great pick.
I think is a phenomenal bad guy, and that's why I'm excited for a second Happy Gilmore to just see how that plays out. My second place.
I'm hoping Shooter McGavin is Tin Cup myself.
My second place would have to be John Kreese from Karate Kid.
Ooh, yeah.
That's going to do it for the show. Royals baseball is next. For AJ, Troy, I'm Mitch. Go Cats.